Welcome to Pause It, Play It. I'm Josh.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Dan.
Still laughing at the thing you just sang.
And you'll never know what it was, because it's not made it into the recording.
Mystery.
Better sample it.
Yeah. Maybe we'll treat you to it again at the end.
Anyway, how's your week been?
It's been all right, hasn't it? You know, just I'm enjoying working from home. Get to see fewer people. Yeah, it's been all right. I feel like earlier today I was thinking, oh, that'll be reasonable content. I will mention that later. Can't remember what it was now. So it's dementia.
Lockdown dementia. Yeah. Is this the thing that you've tagged the Twitter account in?
That wasn't it, but that's also some,
Speaking of, follow us at the 975 pod on Twitter.
Yeah, so today I managed to plug the pod. Someone tweeted, yes. I don't know who it was, but who's got the best Manc accent? And I replied to this tweet with my girlfriend's stepsister, which isn't relevant to this podcast. But as I looked through the replies, someone put Matty Healy. I replied with lol, because obviously he doesn't have a Manc accent at all.
Does not have a Manc accent, mate. Listen to our podcast.
And then he replied to me. He started telling me that one time he saw Matty and Denise in Decathlon.
In Stockport. Decathlon?
Yeah, in Stockport. And they were buying some trainers for him. And he was kicking off because his mum wouldn't buy the ones he wanted. She was buying the cheppy ones and he wanted some decent ones.
My favourite thing about that is that the age wasn't specified, so...
Yeah,
that
same.
Could have been
last week.
It was last year.
Mom,
I love how it's a Decathlon as well. That's brilliant.
Remember Streetwise Sports?
Yeah. And everyone had the bags.
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder if these things are just like Northern? Or
I
like...
think Streetwise Sports is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Tweet us. Write in. Do whatever you need to do. Pick up the telephone. Did you have Streetwise Sports near you in the 90s / early 2000s?
Andy's Records, do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I remember them robbing me on a weekly basis.
I've got a single of Bohemian Like You by the Dandy Warhol somewhere with a sticker that says $3.99 on it from Andy's Records. $3.99 for a single with
Good God.
Bohemian Like You and... a cover of Hell's Bells by AC/DC, which is really good, but £4 for two songs. You believe that?
And what year would that have been?
Fuck off.
2001? Something like that.
First CD or single ever purchased? Whether it was by your mum?
If it was by my mum, then... Oh, wait, no, it wouldn't be. The first single ever was Freestyler by Bang from Pimp C. That's the first single I ever got. Yeah.
Freestyler. That one.
Yeah, that one. What about
that's
you?
Quite a credible one.
Well, I had Robbie Williams. Even S Club 7. I had their EP. Sick. But my first one that mattered was the Rock Show single with a live version.
Oh, my God. That's the one, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe I didn't have... I think I used to just have maybe fake CDs or something. Because I was well aware of Blink by then. But maybe I just used to go onto Matt's and watch it.
My first single that I ever bought was Californication by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Nice.
It was a clear...
Dream of Californication.
That's the one. It had a clear...
It's the popular.
It was a clear CD, so obviously on a single you'll need the very central part, don't you, for it to read the information off.
Yeah.
So the rest of it was clear. I've still got it somewhere, and then my first album was Infest by Papa Roach.
You absolute mosher.
I know, absolute mosher. Cut my life in two pieces. This is my last resort.
These songs might actually be older than a lot of people listen to this podcast.
Oh,
well,
shit.
Well, yeah, I think Californication was 99. When I was... I can't remember... I was in primary school. I was either in year 4 or year 5. So,
elementary school.
Yes. I wasn't very old. Well, it would have been around, 99. So when it came out back in 2000, my favourite song on it was actually Broken Home. And, I had some homework to do at school. I had some homework to do. We had to write the lyrics down to our favourite song. Yeah.
Don't stop, never give up.
So I wrote the lyrics to Broken Home because that was my favourite song. With the lines, I know my mother loves me, but does my father even care?
were you living with your dad?
No, my mum and dad were still together at this point. So I write out these lyrics. I'm dead pleased with them. Like, that is my favourite song by Papa Roach. Favourite song at the minute. Write these lyrics out, dead pleased. And then luckily, my mum just happened to check what my homework. And she's like, you can't send this into school. So, long story short, I did it on In The End instead by Linkin Park.
Still, though, very credible taste for a... Well, you got an older brother, aren't you?
I have.
Yeah.
You got to level out the cool points for that. Yeah. I had Matt feeding in through Matt Reeves, everyone. He's apparently a regular feature now on the spot. feeding in through his older brother to me. You need those older contacts feeding you the shit so that you can play Limp Bizkit on lunchtime activities in primary school and upset the lunchtime supervisors. Okay, dinner ladies.
When Rolling came out, obviously it was explicit lyrics and I couldn't buy it. I got my mum to buy Rolling for me. So yes. I had that on single. But I think that came after Freestyler.
Yeah, it will have done.
I think Freestyler was like 99 and then Rolling. So I was...
I feel like if you'd bought Rolling, you probably wouldn't have wanted Freestyler. Do you know what I mean? You're much more on your path now. You're on your journey.
Maybe they might have been the same year, actually. 2000, so I've been like 7 years old and listening to this.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't Thong Song.
Oh, I also bought Cisco's album when I was... Probably, I think that might have been the second album I bought, actually. So
do you know what? I remember that album at your house.
Yeah, I went from Papa Roach to Cisco.
Matthew, go and choose a different song. You can't use a Papa Roach one. He's like, you also can't write about Bond.
Although I was listening to Linkin Park at the time, so, you know, it all balances out, doesn't it?
Right, so should we go for a more tough, I don't know, modern things we've been listening to this week rather than Cisco and Papa Roach?
Absolutely. Josh, you today links me to Hotel Apache.
Yes.
And they are like my musical taste distilled down to the five songs that I listened to today. Yeah. I was fucking.
Yeah,
buzzing.
They're really good.
Because the 1975, I love to listen to, but the. I don't like. When I've started lockdown, I've started making music again. But it's like, once I release anything, Boris will be like, you can go to work. But this is like the music that I would want to make. And I'm like, yes! So I listened to it on my run today. I never listened to new music on a run, and it powered me to a personal best.
It is a risk, isn't it, listening to new music on a run?
I really loved it, mate. Yeah, it's, honestly, what a perfect recommendation for me.
Yeah, it's...
vibey.
They're like almost... there's like a Venn diagram of like the 1975... The band Camino, Lainey, and The Midnight. They'd be like right in the middle, wouldn't they? They're like...
Yeah, man. That is just like... And yeah, if you listened to these before? But you suggested other bands in exactly the same way. And I've always listened. But then today I listened to that and was like, but what? This needed more enthusiasm.
I just thought of a good story, though, from what I've done this week. It just popped into my head.
Watered the plants.
Yes. I think you both know this story, but so Monday, went for my run, and then on my way back from the run, I was just about to walk down my street, I noticed a rat's fat ass and tail hanging out of a crack in a wheelie bin. The fat bastard tried getting in for some food and got itself stuck. Now, I felt sorry for this rat. I thought, gonna have to help it out.
And this is despite it grassing on its gangster friends.
Yeah. So, I put some gloves on, tried to help this rat out, and I ended up just pushing it into the wheelie bin. Not intentionally, but I didn't really want to touch it. I just felt sorry for it. So it was like, all right, it's done. It's done. I don't need to worry about this rat anymore. It's, you know.
So would you say that you got the rat out?
Not at this stage, no. I put the rat in. However, about 2 hours later, I went for my daily Boris, which to those outside of the UK is currently, well, we're in lockdown, we're allowed one state-approved exercise
state a day. Mandated. Oh, shit, you have to go.
Yeah. I've just admitted on the podcast that I broke the rules because I already said that I went for a run that day and then I was going for a walk.
He's double Borised.
Oh, my God.
Double Borising, yeah. So I went for my second Boris that day. Walked past the wheelie bin. And what do I see? But that very same rat stuck again, but this time face first, just his front legs touching the floor, like just looking at me, going, yeah, this is embarrassing, isn't it? This happened again. I thought, I suppose part of the reason it's stuck there is because of me. I mean, it got itself stuck there in the first place, but then I knocked it into the wheelie bin. So I felt responsible. I thought, I need to see this job through. So I'm going to get this rat out.
So I keep saying texting. Nobody can do that, and also who would? So socials. Has Junior saved an animal there, or has he delayed the progress of the evolution? Are you?
So I put my gloves back on, ready to help this rat out. Get it out of this gap. The bastard starts trying to bite me. I thought,
it's a feral animal.
And then I get this woman walking past going, is that a rat? Oh, leave it. Leave it. I'm like, I can't leave it. I feel sorry for it. Oh, I don't feel sorry for it. Leave it. Let a cat get it.
The other end of it, it's going to smell. If it dies, mind you, in the bin, it's not going to die of starvation for a while, is it?
No,
it's chilling.
Well,
and then imagine being that rat. The bin man comes and picks you up, right, and takes you to the tip. And then you're like, I'm in rat heaven.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's got to survive the transit from wheeler bin to the tip, though. Can it do that?
Oh, true. That like, crushes it down, doesn't it?
I get a stick. And I managed to get that underneath the rat's torso. Well, put my hand in like the crack of the bin to try and make the crack bigger, lifting the rat out. It goes, boom, it's out. Fucks off, runs. So I swear. I think, there we go, that is my good deed for the day. Done. I have saved a rat. So that was Monday.
Fucking hell, we're only on Monday. Yeah.
And then this morning, I go for a run. And what do I see? The rat is back in that gap, stuck again. But this time, I managed to get itself out. I think I was disappointed, and I think it could feel my disappointment. So it was like, don't worry, I've got this. So as I went to get my gloves and stick, which...
had you stored the stick for future rat-free purposes?
Gemma, get the rat stick again.
No, Gemma, the actual rat stick.
I'll wash myself with a rat on a stick. So it was actually a different rat stick. Luckily, I live near a lot of sticks.
I'm trying to think, like, this makes it sound like you live in this, like, leafy forest area.
You get deer behind your
house,
though, so...
Yeah. I don't know, I just kind of find them on the street. I was just lucky, I suppose, that there's some sticks knocking about, but... Yeah, so I think...
You'll find one day, boys and girls, that you've made it.
So I went to get my fresh pair of gloves and a rat stick, and then by the time I got back to it, it managed to free itself, and it was gone. So, yeah. I know. Honestly, if I see it again, though, stuck in that fucking hole, I am not helping it. Also, I've been listening to Bleed American by Jimmy Eat World.
Oh, what a great album.
Yeah.
Hey, for those who can't Google that, I think it ended up self-titled in the end after 9/11,
it
right?
It did, yeah, it did.
Oh, just load. Do you know what? Loads of stuff changed after 9/11. Like, the Strokes, they didn't have New York City Cops. Wasn't on the original release of Is This It? Because it came out just after 9/11 and they thought it was in bad taste to put that song on. Because the line in the chorus is New York City Cops ain't too smart.
There's a episode of The Simpsons as well that got edited where people were queuing up to jump out of a building.
Right, should we get into this episode? Because this is going to be a long one anyway.
It is.
Right. Do you know what? Well, let's mix it up a bit. I'll do the sort of talk about the socials and then someone else can introduce the song.
I don't like breaking with tradition.
Oh, fair enough. Right. Okay, there you go. Right, so thank you everyone who around the world has listened so far. We're actually really proud of the numbers we've been doing. So yeah, thank you.
All
thank
three
you
of
again.
Our mums.
My mum had to fly to the Philippines to make it look like someone over there liked us.
So yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at the1975pod, or you can email us at pauseitplayitpod@gmail.com. We were going to say, you know, message stories about how you first discovered the 1975, but just messaging anything you want, because we like to chat to people.
Yes. So if you've got any stories about seeing Matt Healy buying shoes in Decathlon, you can send that in.
Yeah, and thanks as well to Niall, who did the artwork of the city. It's on our Twitter page now. You can follow him at nixll.m on Instagram. So this week, Dan.
This week, everybody, we're talking about an absolute 1975 classic, Chocolate. The one, isn't it? If it's not the one, it's one of the two. Well, it might be the one.
And if it's not, it might be top five. But what we're getting
it's
at
there,
is
guys.
It's very
it's,
good.
Listen, it's above average.
Listen, guys, if you've not heard this song,
what are you
if
doing?
You're
listening
to
this
podcast and you've not heard this song.
Yeah. You want to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Before we get into solo, the inception of this song and the first time you two heard it. I've mentioned the other week that you almost maybe take it for granted isn't the sort of correct term, but I think like, yeah, Chocolate's a great song, but I don't really listen to it that much. But then when I do put it on, I'm just like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's still there, man. Like, the reason I don't listen to it that much is because it's addictive. You overplay it and kill it. Like, and you can't help it because it's just so addictive. And that's not their fault.
Absolutely not.
So you have to go, you know, you go back to it every now and then, you're like, you know what? Because it's because the production's so fresh though as well, isn't it? It's like, actually I can still get back into it. It's not just this boring guitar song, you can notice bits. It's nice.
And do you know what, going back, like it still sounds so you could release that today. Like even though it's only 8 years old, so it's not exactly ancient. But you could release that song today and the production would sound modern.
Yeah,
it sounds fresh.
I mean, what I'm saying is that in eight years, music comes a long way.
Yeah.
Like, think about, I don't know, music in 1987 and the music in 1995. It's 8 years, but there's like a massive
jump. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
It's a 2012 to 2020, but it still sounds so like relevant to today.
Yeah. It's the parents' song, isn't it? That's the one you'd be like,
yes,
that your parents would listen to, and you go, I like this one. I like this one.
Yeah, it's all the small things,
yeah,
isn't
you're
it?
Like, ha, I've got people queued next. Lol.
Oh, you see that meme somebody posted today that was like parents' faces when they take the kids to a 1975 gig because of Chocolate, and the first song is People.
Yeah.
Right, so why don't you two tell us about the first time you heard the song? In fact, we should say, first, because we've probably got some new listeners since we first said. I don't know how we can quickly say, you two have been watching the 1975 live since 2011?
Yeah, I've seen them 25 times.
Yeah. I'm listening to them since... Yeah.
Yeah.
2011's probably right. 2010, 2011. It was good times. And it's a very similar story to The City, because the music was on there. The music was on their MySpace, and they used to cycle through Sex, Chocolate, The City, and put these songs up one by one and take them down and tease everybody and not talk to anyone. And Chocolate was an undeniable vibe. It was a bit probably poppy if we were listening to really, like, heavier stuff by then. Listening to, like, Under Oath and Alexis on Fire. Super cool.
Heavier Things by John Mayer.
That was like, and it actually was cool. But Chocolate, I think, is a pure pop song until you really get to know it and you're like, ah, they're talking about weed! And a great revelation for it. Everyone thinks like the first person that's cocked it, I think. Like, yeah. Hey man, did you realise that Chocolate just means weed throughout the whole song? He's like, yeah, mate, I know. But where that penny drops, that's a little like relationship that you have with a song, and you go, ah. And you know, there aren't many songs that you have that moment with. Like, it sort of makes sense without you knowing that, and then all of a sudden you know it and you're like, ah.
Yeah.
That's a fun little thing, and it's a little bit naughty talking about taking drugs, even though it's like just a plant. Don't worry about weed. The hegemony of America over the UK will be here soon and it'll be legal.
Yeah, can't be far off, can it?
I don't think so, no.
But yeah, so first heard on MySpace, different version to what you would have heard released. Were you sampling a bit of the original, Dosh, or will you go and Google it?
I would 99% say that the CD that Matt made when he brought it around to my house and was like, listen to this band, would have contained Chocolate. Mm. So yeah, I would have heard it from those days.
Are you going to add that sample in though? Are you going to stick that original track in?
What? The MySpace version?
Yeah, because I can send it to you if you've lost it.
I know, I've got it. I use it as like a... If I ever record something at the start...
Of course, yeah.
I blend that in for a bit and then we drop into the episode.
Well, yeah, different production. Still sounded great back then to us. And we loved it. I ripped that song and we listened to it at parties and shit. We listened to it while we were getting high and it was like, something about weed. And it's a complete, total, and utter vibe. Do you remember me showing it to you, Junior, or might it have been Manny or someone that showed it to you? Or?
No, it was... I'm pretty sure it would have been you.
Yeah. Do you know that little guitar loop and everything? It's not like a pop punk song. It's not like it got palm muted in it and stuff. And although we were sure it was inspired by that, not that they'll ever admit listening to Blink, it was... Yeah, there's so many other influences in there, and it was a real eye-opener, like, shit, you don't have to just follow that sort of rock music pattern. What am I trying to say? Template. And it was interesting to have your mind opened a little bit, and be like, oh, okay, yeah, no, this is a total vibe, actually.
I think one of the biggest sort of testaments to this song, like the legacy it's left, is that so many bands now in the mainstream... are copying those guitar parts.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying that the 1975 invented this sort of guitar, but I think when this song was like massive, because it was, especially in this country, and I'm sure it was in like America, then it went worldwide. You're getting so many different bands now who are copying the guitar playing in songs like that, that are not quite as big as the 1975, but there's definitely in that sort of genre, well, not even genre, it's probably not the right word, because it's so like, it spans so many genres, but in that kind of poppy, indie, kind of disco sort of guitar and B, let's say, in that kind of space in music, you get so many bands copying that style.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just vibey, isn't it? Which is our overused word on this podcast, but it's just like a nice Tambra. Just, yeah, good. Good song.
Makes you want to dance, man.
It does. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
I wonder what, because we worked out that the BPM's 100. So I wonder what, like, the ideal BPM for dancing is. A lot of arrangements sit around 100 to 110. So it's probably why it isn't that perfect BPM for dancing. So when you like first heard this song and you were hearing it live, did you think that this was going to be like, oh, this will be their standout song that'll push them more popular?
We definitely first heard this song before we heard it live. But do you mean, was seeing it live like a real moment?
I just mean when you were, because around the time you were hearing it, because like this is when you become more familiar with all of the songs, like you said, like Sex, Ghost, Robbers and stuff. Did you think this was going to be the one, because it has, this is the one that really pushed him to like a mainstream audience?
Yeah. No, I thought it'd be Sex.
I wouldn't necessarily have said it was better than Sex for me. Like that it really, it was either going to be one or the other. And Sex was much more of an indie song.
Yeah.
So, and that would have resonated more with me. I probably do like Sex more.
Yeah.
But Chocolate, I think I could tell it was accessible, yeah. Accessible is the word, right?
Like
Junior said, like, that's another way of saying it. It's a mum song, your mum will like it. Like, oh, this is the band I'm going to see, don't worry, can you drop me off?
And pick me up when it's done.
Please. Guys, I've I've just been going through my mobile uploads on Facebook, and this pint here was bought just before I saw the 975 for the first time.
Wow.
Where'd you see Sound Control? Well?
So this was bought in, what's it called? Font. And it was on the 19th of June, 2011. First time I ever saw them live.
Jesus.
I'd say that we were definitely listening to Chocolate in 2010 then.
So should we talk about... let's talk about what you said, the music video and the release and stuff. That music video... You watch that back now, and that it's just not really them. It feels so staged,
I know what you mean.
Like, but at the time, it's like, let's do this cool black and white video, let's do all this, let's have Matty get off with this naked woman. Going for like a real like aesthetic with the video, but you look at them and they're driving around in a car which is so obviously being like towed by some some van with a massive camera on it.
George doing this,
and then like when it gets to the backing vocal, like Matty's like singing the lyrics in the passenger seat. Gets to the backing vocals, the old mouth onto the backing vocals. I'm just like, this is just so weird. It's just don't feel like what they're about.
Yeah, and it looks like they don't want to be there singing those backing lyrics as well.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm just watching the video now, and it literally those backing, like at the end, that when it's like that chanty bit, and he's sort of like casually just saying it in the passenger seat, and it's like
it's just so weird. Like,
do you know what I mean? It's like he just doesn't seem like they've had as much input as if like, I mean, compare this to like the girls video.
Yeah,
which just 100%. Screams them.
I think as well, even like compared to the City video, because the City video, it's not really like, it's a lot more abstract, isn't it? They're just sort of the camera shots of them are really just sort of stood there. It's almost like stills. It's just like various things to look at to fill up the actual part of the music video. But this feels more like a thing. But it was. Do you know what it reminded me of? Like this might be a way off comparison, but do you know? No, Brulov had a broken dreams.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit like, and that's.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, it's stylistically, it's supposed to be on that really crappy, like, green screen background. But it's just a bit like, and that's so. That video really deconstructs that sort of trope of the walking down the street, bittersweet symphony kind of video, doesn't it? This reminds me more of the thing that Boulevard of Broken Dreams is trying to take off.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
It's just a little... I mean, I can't believe I'm saying something negative in an episode about chocolate, but it's just a little... The video's a little cheesy, and that is not something I associate with this band.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, I've not really given the video much thought, because I don't really watch it.
Don't tell people, Matt, you're an expert on the show.
Well, I listen to the music, but that doesn't mean I watch the music videos. But yeah, it is a bit cheesy. The car that they drive around in is cool, though. I love old cars, mate. It's from this.
Is it one of the Golfs, mate?
No, it's a 1975 Ford Consul.
I mean, what this video is, though, I think that Dirty Heat and the band knew that this was going to be the one. This was the pop song. This was going to be the one that was going to lend them to the mainstream audience, the accessible song. And I don't know if it might have been a more conscious idea to have them in a music video where really the masses were going to be like, oh, this is cool. They look cool. This is a good song. Do you know what I mean? Because what I'm saying is that people like us and like other like massive fans of the band, and also people that are really into music, are going to deconstruct it a little more. Basically, yeah. But you know what I mean? We're going to deconstruct it more, and then obviously like massive fans of the band were going to be like, our favourite videos are Girls, It's
Change
Not
Your
Living
Heart.
If It's Not With You. Yeah, that's a great video. Like, but I think for the audience that they knew this song was going to reach, I think it serves the purpose for them, really.
Yeah, so it was a very much a stylistic decision.
Yeah, we're talking about accessibility again, aren't we? Not about disabled handrails, but like, guys, you're not going to do anything fucking crazy that's going to fuck this up, because this is the one. So we're going to make it nice and easy to absorb.
Yeah.
For your aunties, kids, your cousins.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's incredibly important for music to be saleable. Like, people criticise bands, don't they, for selling out or whatever, which I'm not accusing them of doing in this video, but the reason you write music is because you want people to hear it, and if no one's going to pay for it, you can't continue. So that you have to make it a packaged product that people will buy before you can go nuts and start writing people.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that's what a lot of this whole first album presentation was about. It's almost like you're trying to get people to buy the brand with that hard R that is the 1975, not just... Because obviously we're going to be gravitated toward it because the music's really good. And there's a lot going on there, but for them to be a band as big as they are, they've got to have... And obviously they have, like, now they've got, like... the huge core of, like, massive fans. But then also, they wouldn't be in the position they are without the casual fan.
Yeah. Without the mums. Oh, excuse me, I am yawning.
Ooh, I saw them two Borises you've been doing.
It is, yeah. Double Boris.
Double Boris!
But yeah, they won't be selling out arenas. They won't be headlining Reading and Leeds next year, Glastonbury.
You heard it here first.
Without people being like, oh yeah, the 1975, well, I know chocolate. You know what I mean? Like those sort of people.
Yeah.
It's interesting to dissect how they would have written it. Like, can you imagine which riff came first? Because I don't believe that they're really... the sort of accomplished musicians that go, let's play around with the idea of this chord and play different parts from it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think someone's, especially at this, but nah, they're never going to be like that. I think somebody's come up with a riff and someone else has gone, all right, I'll do this then.
I reckon there's going to be no way of doing this, like singing it, but I reckon the bit that goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, that came first.
Yeah, I do as well. Probably just messing about, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then the other one puts someone underneath it, whoever plays which bit. And it was like, oh my God. Yeah.
That idea of having that the idea of having that picked riff is so, I don't know, it's just so like new to me. I don't know, I can't even reference it, and it's just a loop.
Well,
all
let's,
the way through
let's
the
go
song.
To the like, very start of the song. The song starts with a loop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is like it's.
Yeah, that sort of backgroundy loop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is so electronic music. It's so dance music, isn't it? Mm. Like I know at the when at the time they said that they when they were making that jump from like what do they call themselves like post punk emo sort of when they were making that sort of music and they shifted over to this more guitar and beat. I'm using that unironically now. Like guitar and beat genre. They said that they were listening to a lot of dance music. That very start of it, they've picked that directly from dance music. And there's a picture that I've seen of Matty's, this is specific, but of Matty's pedal board, and there's a freeze pedal.
Oh, okay.
Which literally is just you play something, hold it down, and it just constantly plays whatever you're playing at the time. You hold the pedal down. I sort of feel like I wouldn't be surprised if that pedal had a lot of influence on the way they did things with loops and about things being sustained underneath.
Yeah, because it can be quite inspirational, can't it? You get something new and you're like, oh shit, I've made this sound, I want to do something with it, like what are we going to do?
So I think that initial sound, do you know what, they'd probably interview this and George is probably explain what it is, but I reckon that sound at the very start, the loop, I think it's playing something on the guitar, it getting using that freeze pedal, and they've gone in the studio and then they've made it into that loop with the drums with the thing, and they've laid their ideas over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me in a respect of So Here We Are by Bloc Party. I know musically they're very different, but just that you've got like the two looped guitars that just worked together so beautifully to create an amazing sound.
I think Danny said that something like this was new to you, but I think it's Bloc Party is really, that's a very, in terms of the way the guitars interplay, that's a close example.
Yeah, well,
I
wasn't really close to Bloc
Party. For the mainstream.
Other than Flux.
Yeah, but when you...
Helicopter?
But like, Helicopter and Banquet particularly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think, and also the two of the biggest songs. But the way the guitar parts, the two independent guitar parts that work together, that make like sort of like one, not riff, but one sound throughout. And it's like the same with this. It's not like one guitar is playing the riff and then one is doing the rhythm chords underneath. Yeah. It's like they've got two parts that interlock together.
Yeah. Let's start a Bloc Party podcast. Cast
iron guarantee you say that that's what inspired the song. Helicopter by Bloc Party. He's having it, isn't he, Josh? Go on.
Now you said it.
Yeah. I think it's a Bloc Party influence.
Maybe
they wouldn't admit it, but...
Because I reckon that Bloc Party is definitely the sort of like indie music that they would have listened to.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about the music?
Simple, isn't it? Like, there's nothing... You got the loop in the background, which adds this layer to a song that would be, without it, be purely like guitar-based, like be a pure indie rock song. And it does give it like a little... It gives it a different dynamic, and it's nice for that, I think. It's really sets it apart from... everything else that was out there, but I don't know. To me, it's pop punk done with real musicianship, and I think that's loads of what their vibe is. It's like, we're going to take all the small things and put Michael Jackson behind it, and you're going to fucking love it. And I did.
I think when you listen to it, what stands out now when I listen is the bass is doing something really different.
Oh, I was going to discuss this.
Yeah, like, Dan, you mentioned then, like, it was, like, pop-punk, but really, Mark Hoppus is playing root notes. And it works, and it's great, and, you know, but what Ross is doing, that takes it away from it being fitting into just other guitar music, and it really goes, and that's where you can see, like, the influences from, like, the sort of musicians that Michael Jackson would play with, and who else do they reference as, like, you know, like... You talk about Whitney and stuff like that, and then you know, like sort of whole soul and Motown. Like the bass is such a massive part of those songs, and you know it's something. that they've really like paid attention to. And you know, like Ross is he's really good at what he does, I think. He does get overlooked. But like songs like this, like Sex, like Love Me as well, and like further on. He's not playing.
Talk's got great bass line.
Yeah. He's not playing anything like, you know, he's not Flea. He's not playing something ridiculous, but it's not. It's a little bit. What he's doing is a little bit more than just serving the song.
Yeah.
He's making it another part. It's almost like John Entwistle style, which I know it's a big comparison, but John Entwistle, he wouldn't just play the root notes as well, and he wouldn't try and do like ridiculous things like Flea does. He's somewhere in between, which is like he's playing like another part of the song that you can really listen to and really get excited by.
Yeah. Yeah, if we go back to Mark Hoppus and Blink-182 just playing the root notes, you would be bored listening to that bass line.
Yeah,
it's the whole rhythm sections.
I think you could listen,
isn't it? People don't realise what it contributes.
Yeah. Yeah, and you could listen to Ross just dum 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 just doing his thing. It'd be interesting enough if you're a geek, maybe not your average person, but I could listen to him.
So you want Ross's stems is what you want?
Yeah, well, I like all the stems.
But yeah, like, they've got that. I think in comparison to the MySpace version, or the Drive Like I Do version, whatever, one of the things that sets that apart is that texture underneath. Obviously, it's the professional recorded, but there's that texture underneath of the loop, which isn't in that. And then I think the more it goes on, then, like, the songwriting still stands out, even on the early version. And I think then once you've got all the production parts in place, you can look at why is this song, to quote Rick Beato, what makes this song great? And it's, the bass is one of those things. And that's what took it away as well from other guitar music at the time. I think we've got a couple of recurring features to get into, I think.
Holy shit, yeah, I just forgot about one.
Before we get into the weekly feature of Josh is going to read one of the funniest excerpts on genius.com, I think it's going to be, when was George Daniels last seen on WhatsApp, Dan?
George Daniels last seen on WhatsApp was... Can't say without a drum roll. Wait...
He's on right now. Oh, he's looking at me.
Shit. His last scene was when it was last seen last time, I think. The 9th of April at 11:27.
Wow.
That's ages ago. I think he's changed his number.
I just don't think he uses WhatsApp.
No, remember last time it was on the day? It was like last seen today. George! As if! I wonder if someone's told him about the podcast.
I imagine.
If that is now continued, if it's always the 9th of April at that time.
It always updated every time we've checked.
Wow.
Shit, have we made George Daniel change his number? Sorry, Josh. We didn't give the number out.
We're never going to ring
it. I mean, that was the next podcast, but...
We're too scared.
It was an emergency.
So a week ago today, was that when we did the last podcast? And the release date?
Yeah.
What's the release date? Wednesdays?
Yeah.
Ooh, I swear I could see his profile picture before.
No way. What was it?
It was just a picture of him in a mirror, I think, with like his head down.
Wow, I feel a little sad.
It's over. The feature could be over. We'll see. But it's been a week since he's looked at WhatsApp. Shall I message him and see if it delivers? I say, hey,
digital detox.
I say, hey, you up?
Yes, that'll guarantee to work.
I messaged him.
Have you?
No.
Fuck! It's delivered. He's not changed his number, it's delivered. He just didn't use WhatsApp very often. Delete for everyone. I came online! He came online!
Ah!
What did you say?
Okay, he just changed your line at the top, so his last scene will now be immediately.
What did you say?
It'll be now. I said, hey, you up.
That's funny.
His last scene is now today at 22:05.
Brilliant.
The George Daniel game, everybody. That was real drama, everybody, as it happened.
My heart is racing.
I just made George Daniel look at his phone.
By saying, hey, you up.
Yeah, but I honestly thought he wasn't going to deliver. Yeah. He hadn't looked at it for a week. His last evening was a week ago. I thought, it's over. I'll just check that it's over. Turns out he delivered straight away and he looked at his phone immediately.
That's amazing. Right, so after the intense fun that was our feature of George Daniel's last scene on WhatsApp, which then turned into accidentally messaging George Daniel on WhatsApp, who then immediately saw it.
Who doesn't have last scene for a week and then immediately sees the message?
Yeah, well, come on, George,
baiting us.
I feel like he must refuse to be friends with you if you don't have an iPhone.
Yeah, it must do. But he's keeping that WhatsApp there for any nerds from back in the day.
In that case, me and Matt will just iMessage him then.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's time for this week's feature of I'm going to read something funny from Genius. Do you know what? The chocolate ones, they're not actually that funny. However, on the line, we're never going to quit it, no, someone has commented, they're never going to stop smoking weed, which is fair. However, then they feel like they've added something like the next episode by Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. So, I mean, the comparisons between the 1975 and Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre, they're really abundant, aren't they?
There's a one that I saw in there that I liked. Weed has become part of a lifestyle for these chaps.
Oh, go on, what does he say? Genuine interest.
Basically says...
I would say what he's saying is, because he grew up in a small town, a very middle-class small town, where nothing really happens, the police were bored, and the kids were bored, so the police would just kind of like come down on you hard for the smallest of crimes. So it's, you know, dressed in black, head to toe, guns under his petticoats, that's... It would be a crime, wouldn't it, to have a gun? Sorry, I think he's saying they're acting like we've got guns hidden under our very middle-class petticoats when, in fact, we're just kids.
We mentioned it at the start of the show, Danny said about that moment where people are like, oh, my God, chocolate means weed. Which, it's a surprisingly mature songwriting technique for people so young and in the start of the career.
I still don't know what color is split. Means really.
Banana split.
Can you help me? I'm not on Genius, Josh. Can you help me up with what split means?
I can, because it's got a confirmed annotation from the 1975 page.
It doesn't actually tell you. It just says, this lyric, it is, call it a split, splits in capitals. There have been debates around this line, arguing that I'm actually saying spliff. This is not the case. It is split.
Although someone has commented below saying, I knew it was split, flex. Can I ask, what does that actually mean? Didn't know that, did they?
A split typically refers to splitting the cost of drugs between two or more people.
Just cool in and of itself. It's all just so rebellious, isn't it? Like, yeah, I take drugs. And like that's, for me, the whole vibe throughout it. And I think that is what you want to be when you're a teenager. Like, yeah, I'm fucking bad, mate. That's what I'm like now. I'm 30 years old and I still want to be like, yeah, I'm a bad motherfucker and I know it. But yeah, I mean, I think once you know that chocolate means weed, it's not that. It's not taking you on a massive journey lyrically, is it?
Well, you say that, but I feel like it is. Like, I love that. I feel like there's a real dynamic going on of getting caught by the police smoking weed, because that's what inspired it, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I guess weed as a, yeah, what is the point in chasing anybody for smoking weed? We talked about the legalization of it and stuff. And we, you know, maybe we expect that in the future in England, but it's not on the cards now. It probably, when this song was written, wasn't on the cards then, but it just had that, like, mate, it's only weed vibe about it. It's not like I'm a fucking heroin dealer. Like, and that probably harks back to that. We got guns hidden under our petticoats. I'm just smoking this plant, mate. Is that all right? Are you going to take my weed off me? All right,
I do love the line. Oh, shit. Pause it, play it. Which is convenient because that's what the name of the podcast is. But
oh, that's what it's named after.
I think that the from I'm a car smells like chocolate. Hey, now think about what to do. Oh, no, ignore that. From hey, now think about what to do. Think about what to say. Think about how to think. Pause it, play it, pause it, play it, pause it. I know you didn't need my wonderful singing, but I love that section because to me, that really does summarise that, oh, shit. It's like the police, the policeman officer's walking over. What do I do? What do I say? What do I think?
Yeah.
And then they're like, pause the music. No, keep it on because that looks more natural. Pause it, play it, pause it, play it. And I just love that. There's a real panic in those lyrics to me.
I've never caught that, you know. I don't know. I just thought it was just some little just device in the song to talk about playing
you know what?
Playing music.
And I didn't.
Almost just filler,
and
but
I will, so Dyson.
I'll take that.
Great analysis, mate.
Thank you very much.
just because there's no pre-chorus in this song, but just in that bit, it's the way the sort of the phrasing of the lyrics changes for that part, and just the way it builds up into that repetitive pause it, play it, pause it, play it. And that to me is it's almost like it's another sample from dance music. Like you get a lot of like vocal melodies in EDM songs and stuff like that where it's just lyrics like repeated. House Every Weekend is the most obvious example.
Yeah.
But you know
remember
what I mean?
That Fatboy Slim song? Well, a few of his songs do it, but they were just went /.com, something like that. It was just awful. But yeah.
I think so. But then look at like, you know, Eat, Sleep, Rave, Repeat.
Yeah.
That's
Barbra Streisand.
Oh, what a great song. But that just that bit, and then obviously like it's funny because it's like they're using sort of the two musical devices there. They're using the one of like the electronic music that repeats the line, then also the building up to the big chorus, which is like a really pop thing and like a really like sort of thing, and you're getting like guitar music as well.
Yeah,
and then it's such a sing-along chorus, isn't it?
See, even if you don't smoke weed, it's just whatever your thing is that you're not supposed to do, like whether you're seeing a girl or a guy you shouldn't be seeing, or whether it's just, I'm never going to quit it, mum. It's just like that, we're never going to quit it. It's just, fuck you, mum.
It's
it's loss of innocence again, isn't it? It's growing up. It's about, you know, it's about just being like, I'm finding my own way and I'm never going to quit. I might quit, but for you, I'm never.
It's funny, like the first few tracks on this album, they all deal with the sort of the whole growing up and the loss of innocence things in different ways, and like it only occurred to me this week, but literally the first songs after The City, Money, Chocolate, and Sex, your three most like typical like vices.
Fucking love chocolate,
and I love money.
Dan, what do you love?
But yeah, it's just another aspect, and it just goes into being like another sort of facet in the 80s teen movie that they were trying to depict in the album.
Yeah,
and like they said, like you know, they said in interviews that this album is basically like the sort of the love letter to their youth.
Yeah,
it's nice, man. Like, imagine being able to look back on your youth in that way. I don't know, like. You might have a similar thing, Josh, where you might have written songs when you were younger and you look back and you're like, fuck, actually, no, I do remember actually being there. But, like, imagine when it's sung back to you and it meaning so much to all those people. You're like, this song's about when I went around my mate's house and smoked weed. No way, everyone's vibing.
Yeah.
In an arena.
I think it's taken on, like, a
different... Or a Glasto or something.
Well, next year, mate, 2021. It's taken on like a different thing now, because rather than it being just a song about the meaning of the song, and obviously I think back in like the early days and so many people were getting into it, they probably like, this is pretty funny, the song about weed is literally our biggest song. But now I think it's just that one staple song where it's like, this was us at that time, and it's still massive. And I don't think they'll ever stop playing this song live. I think this is the staple. I think this, because I've been thinking, you know, like with it being Sex being second in the set list, I'm thinking like, oh, are they phasing it out?
Is Chocolate going to be their Wonderwall?
Yeah, I think it will. I think, you know, the ones that are never going anywhere, I think are Chocolate, Robbers and The Sound. I think they're the ones that are never going anywhere. Yeah, sad to say.
Antichrist.
That. Play Antichrist long. Yeah, I think this stays, and I think I think it means more to them, perhaps, in the city, because they don't play the city.
Yeah. I love the city, though. I think it's such a good song.
Yeah, so do I.
I think we should also go into Misheard Lyrics, which is something that occurred to me earlier.
Yeah, this is a feature now, yeah.
Yes. Bro. I remember in the early days when Chocolate was fresh and the 975 had like only just started their Instagram, whatever, people were discussing the lyrics on like through comments on Instagram. Thought it was quite funny. And someone just commented, "Flurby derby 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 petticoat," and I've never forgot it. But the actual Misheard Lyrics, there's a website called amiright.com where you can look at Misheard Lyrics that people have submitted. And it's not actually that good, but just because it's so off the actual lyrics, I think it's pretty funny. So, original lyrics: "Hey, now we're building up speed as we're approaching the hill." I'm sure you're aware of that line. Someone thought it was, "Hey, now, well, being on speed is like punching a door." Well, being on speed is like punching a door.
We should definitely add Dan's, oh my God, what was it? And the, "Don't call it a fire because you're nice and warm."
"Don't call it a fire
because you're nice and warm."
"Don't call it a fire because you're nice and warm." I hope other people have heard that, because it makes sense. It's like me that's keeping, it's Matt Healy that's keeping you warm. Don't call it a fire just because you're nice with
that. That's so funny.
I think we need a special mention for the fact that Feds entered and became, well, it didn't enter my vocabulary, it re-entered my vocabulary, Feds, but became a staple of my vocabulary as a result of this song. Now, I just always refer to the police as the Feds.
I think as an extension of you, I think I do the same. But before this, absolutely, like, you'd only use Feds, ironically.
Couldn't agree more.
Like, I think it's a really weird, like, term to use, do you not think?
Well, in America, it doesn't mean the police, does it? It means, like, the CIA or the FBI or that next level up. Yeah. Like, so it's the idea that it's almost like taking the piss out of the guy in the soundproof vest going, "Yeah, give you weed." Like, "Oh, the Feds are here."
Like, yeah. Not PCSO.
Yeah, you just some dickhead, mate. But yeah, I have my weed. My mum's going to give me more money anyway. I'm just going to buy some more, but cool. You're fat. Nice.
Right, so final thoughts on Chocolate then, Dan.
So, Chocolate, right from the start to me, was always going to be that accessible sick song. In its very first guise that we heard, it was ready. And then they took it through a production process and made it into something really, you know, something that really made the difference and that was really going to push them to the next level. And it's great for that you got that secret moment where everybody's going to have that moment of discovery with it, unless the mates go, this song's what we'd look like. If you actually listen to it on your own for the first time and then get to discover it on your own, you're going to have a little special relationship where the song reveals itself to you. It's always going to be super clever. And yeah, and Rebecca better know.
She better know.
Matthew Junior Collins, your thoughts?
Oh, shit.
He Sunday named me. I think it is an incredibly well written song. Yeah. Like I might even go as far as saying well crafted. I can't believe how young they must have been when they wrote this. I know it would have been written kind of over years or developed over years, but it's just so good. I feel like it's the song that any other band would produce it at their peak, say like album 3 or something when they've got the songwriting shit together. Yeah. But they've produced it so early in their careers. It's so well put together, so well thought out. But it probably is going to be their Wonderwall, isn't it?
It is, but I don't. It's not. Not that we're saying it's at those levels of the.
No, but I suppose I mean like how Jamie T doesn't like playing Sheila anymore. He's done it. He's sick of it. But it's what the fans want to hear. Yeah.
But Wonderwall's got its Don't Look Back in Anger, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, Sex and Chocolate probably have that relationship.
Yeah.
I think Dan, to quote Ronan Keating, you said it best when you said that.
got pissed and started chatting shit.
Basically, when you said it's accessible, that's what this song is. It's like, this is the one that the mainstream are going to gravitate to.
But it was fresh enough though. Like loads of shit's accessible. But it was also like, but like this is different to the shit that I would be listening to.
It's still authentic. It's still authentically them.
Yeah,
it's not. It's not an album released with like a loads of songs that sound like the 1975 and then one pop tune that's out, you know, that doesn't fit in with the rest of them. It's not that. It fits perfectly in the song. It's perfectly placed in the album as well. It's just so well written.
Yeah.
You know, like pop fans are going to gravitate towards it. Casual fans are going to, fans like you guys that have been seeing them and seeing the progression of the band, they're going to be like, yes, this is so good. And then even like people that are more into like music were saying like, right, I get the vibe, I get this. They're going for that kind of 80s nostalgia thing, but it's through sort of like modern indie rock. Mm. I get the whole thing.
Well, I think it's timeless. I wouldn't place this as an 80s style song. I genuinely think it's timeless. It's like Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. I know that's a bit of a cliched reference because it's the Beatles, but when a song is so well written, it just does not age.
Yeah.
It's just a great song.
I think that's a nice thing to end on.
Hey, everybody, put 5 minutes aside now. Go and put the kettle on because we're about to do...
Let's get the easy ones out of the way first. So you can follow us at the 1975 pod on Twitter, or you can email us at pauseitplaypod@gmail.com for you to send in stories about the 1975. If you've met them, if you have WhatsApp messaged them, and then immediately come online. you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh William without the vowels. And Matt, where can they find you?
I was waiting for him to get back with this brew.
Sort of forgot about that one.
We're not back yet. Are you comfortable? Good. So my handles for both Instagram and Twitter are the same. And it is Junior, but it is spelt J-E-W, Jew, like the follower of the Jewish religion, knee, like the bend in your leg, K-N-E-E. And then finally, O-R, like either or, Jew, knee, or.
That was quite concise this week, actually.
that was the trend at the time.
When you made that, though, you never thought, like, oh, in a few years' time, I'm going to have to explain this to people in audio format.
No, no. To be fair, when I made it, and in hindsight, this is a ridiculous notion, I was amazed that I could get it. I was thinking, why has no one else come
it's
up with this?
It's the same story, but it's just flowing better.
I know why no one else come up with it, because it's fucking ridiculous.
You should have seen my face when we got the 1975 pod at the Twitter
but
username.
With
like,
yours?
Oh my God, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here we are, to quote bye. Right, so yeah, thank you everyone for listening. Thanks again for everyone like around the world. We're really happy with the amount of people that have been listening to the show. Hit us up on Twitter or email, like we said. And we will see you here next week.
Yes, we shall. Right, cheers everyone.
Whoop. Ah.